Amen. Thank you so much, church, for allowing us to come. My wife, it was 5 hours between services today, and my wife has fibromyalgia, so that pushes her just a little too hard. So I brought my daughter with me. She's a rowdy. She keeps me up on the way. I'm just kidding. Lily's my sweetheart. And thank you so much. As he mentioned, we are working in the country of Haiti. Been on deputation for 2 years. I'm one church from 75%. And the Lord is doing an amazing thing. It's been an amazing year. I had went in October, met a man named Octave Jerome on the island of Tortuga. Most of you, if you've heard of Tortuga Island, that's the old Caribbean pirate island on the north side of Haiti. It's a six-mile boat ride off the mainland. And I am not afraid of the sea, but a Haitian sailboat, handmade wooden Haitian sailboat, scares me to death. And I have been over there, was in an October, and his roof from one end to the other had rusted completely through. It had rained so hard, there was a puddle of water in the floor. And the Lord broke my heart. And I took a video, and I sat down and wept. And I said, that is not me, that is the Lord. And I began to pray and asked the Lord what he wanted us to do. And I did not start on the project at all till after New Year's. So on January 1st, we started the project. And the Lord sent in $8,000 in 3 weeks to go in. And we've got the project going and went in to rebuild that church. Had several things when we got there and flying back in here in a few weeks. And the Lord has given me 8 new churches since January or since Christmas. So it's been one of those rides. I am just thrilled to death. And I'll probably fall off a wagon tomorrow. But I am enjoying myself today. Had a man call me, he is a Haitian American and was saved in New York City, and the Lord called him back to Haiti, had been translating the French Bible, the New Testament, and is very linguistic, and he does a lot of translating work. He did a tract for us last year. I helped a friend of mine from Georgia, Brother Sammy Allen, had called me and asked me to work with him on a tract, and we had it translated into Creole, and this man called me end of the year, maybe the first of the year. Said, I'm sick with bronchitis. I'm going to be out for a week or two. He said, what would you have me translate? Everybody hold up that Bible. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Amen. And the difference it can make in your life? That changed my life. 23 years old, stayed in and out of jail, trouble. I wanted something better, but did not know how to get there. And God sent a preacher to my house, turned my TV off, and preached on hell for 20 minutes. Never asked my permission. And He asked me when he was done, said, are you saved? I said, I'm saved, but I'm backslid. Now, this man had guts, and when I told him that, you know what he told me? He said, I doubt that. That's what he said. He said, you've lived your whole life in sin. You've stayed in and out of jail. You've lived in immorality, the alcohol, the drugs. And he said, the reason you've lived your whole life in sin is because you're a sinner. And God, for the first time, turned the lights on the inside. I saw the truth that that's what I was and what I needed. And even though it was not necessarily exactly, you know, at the time, I had a flicker of hope that maybe something beyond this world could satisfy what was longing in my heart. And he did. He left. As far as he knew, he had done no good, but I was under Holy Ghost conviction. Had all I could take the next day. I got off my couch and called on God to save me, and that's exactly what he did. And called me to preach the first time I ever went to church. I didn't know you were supposed to run, Pastor, so I stood up and made it public. And have been trying to scratch at it ever since. But the man called me, get back to the story, and asked me. He said, I've got bronchitis. I'm going to be down for a while. What do you want me to translate? And the Haitians do not have what you just held up. They do not have the Word of God in a clean text from the Textus Receptus. They have a New Testament from the majority text. They have the full Bible and what would be the good news for modern man. But I said, start in the Gospel of John, if you don't care, and give me all you got. And I'm holding the first 4 chapters of the Gospel of John. What an honor to hold that in your hand and be working with him maybe this year. I'd love to have John and Romans by the end of the year in praying if the Lord would help us. And the Lord put us in this, and he just keeps putting people in our paths and putting things together. No telling where we'll be 5 years from now if I'll keep myself out of trouble and stay in the will of God. I met Brother Bobby Lamont. Anybody heard of him? Bible Missionary Literature Foundation. And I told him my desire, having the Word of God. And he said, well, what you got on your mind? I I threw out a number of 1,000, you know, a couple thousand Bibles, and he said, well, how about a container a year? So we'll see if we can get some, get the New Testament done. That's 30,000 plus per year, and a little as much when God's in it. And I'm just along for the ride and enjoying what the Lord's doing, and looking forward to starting the work in Haiti. I don't know if that is me or it's coming. Okay. Thank the Lord. I'll run you through a PowerPoint here, a little bit about the country of Haiti. And then the PowerPoint's a little bit long, but I preach short, so you don't get worried, okay? And, of course, Haiti here, nestled in below Cuba. Jamaica here to the left. Haiti shares the island with the Dominican Republic. And, of course, Puerto Rico over here. And over 10 million people now in Haiti. And Haiti is the size of the state of Maryland, so it is very overpopulated. This is the northern island I was telling you about, Tortuga, and it is hard from Port-au-Prince. I fly in one day, have to take a bus all the way the next. It is between 6 and 7 hours on bus, and then catch a sailboat the next day. So I kill nearly 3 days just getting there. Three different island sections. This is Loganov, and this is the Kayamide. Over 300,000 people live on those islands, 30,000 on that northern island. And it is amazing that the culture is so different. My beautiful wife, Jamitha, my son, Micaiah, I'm sorry they couldn't be with us. My daughter, Lily, and of course, myself. I am out of Rogersville Baptist Temple. That is my pastor, Brother Barry Racklin, a graduate of Tabernacle, and that is God's man. And we live right beside the church. It just happened to be open when we moved up there, and our property joins theirs. But this is the earthquake, of course, most know from Haiti. The 7.0 magnitude quake, over 350,000 people lost their life in 2011 because of the concrete roofs. A lot of times they build that. You can see part of a wall collapse there. That is a 6-inch block wall. They are terrible to do that, and that is just not good for a concrete roof. 400,000 people still are homeless, living in tent cities. I drove in, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, and I saw several tent cities still operational there in the country of Haiti, and I don't know how long that'll last, but I would say there'll probably be a lot of tent cities from here on out. Poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, this lady is making mud cookies, and there is a central section in Haiti that the mud has nutrients, and it cures their hunger pains. Believe it or not, I'd always saw that picture, and I do not know why I did it, but I ate a mud cookie this trip into Haiti just to try it. And there's nothing special about it. It turns to mud in your mouth. And I didn't swallow it. I spit it out. But it's sad to think about children or people eating mud cookies in Haiti. I wish Americans could see this picture. You reap what you sow. Over 70% of Haitians have participated in voodoo worship. Of course, they're known for their witchcraft and things like that. I saw a while back, was looking through some of the channels, and it was amazing to me how many series, TV shows in America dealt with witches, vampires, and those kind of things. Of course, the Harry Potter. And I wish every American could take a look at that, because you do reap what you sow. Haiti is the most deforested country in the Western Hemisphere. They have stripped their trees to try to sell what they can to make money. They sell it for charcoal. And a lot of this landscape is dirt, just dirt hills where they've cleaned the trees off. The presidential palace, they're in the country. That was after the earthquake, but they have had a crumble in their political system, always have. It's been trouble. The Marine Corps occupied the country from 1918, did for 18 or 19 years. They occupied the country of Haiti. Fear of European intervention, they're in the country. And the Marine Corps is actually who established Port-au-Prince as the central government there in the country. But we have had to return many a times to remove corruption and protect the people, and it is sad that they have had to live under what they did. This picture I saw online, and I thought that said so much. In the country, as I mentioned, they have had to reap the reward. In 1804, they had a ritual, dedicated the island to Satan, and whether that had any power, I do not know, but they have lived under voodoo and the witchcraft, and they have paid the price for it. And it's not just the witch doctors that have to reap from that. The man I was telling you about, Octave Jerome, on the island of Tortuga, when I flew in this trip, I noticed he just seemed down. He wasn't himself.
And I asked him, I knew he didn't have no money, and I asked him what he had eaten for the last 3 days. And that man of God told me, he said, for 3 days he had eaten only one breakfast meal a day, and it was plain spaghetti noodles. And it's sad that they have had to live their life to live. I'm with IBOM Baptist Missions. Of course, we work with a local church. We'll establish a partner missionary, a Haitian national, and establish a college, translate a curriculum. We're probably looking at Tabernacle or Providence, one of the two. And our desire is to see men come out of that college, and we'll work with them to establish churches across the country of Haiti. It has been a very effective method of missions in Kenya. Brother Richard Smith will be working with me. This is his work in Malaba, Kenya, the local church they work with and their partner missionary. And this is the graduation service. Last year they had 28 graduates. Out of those 28 graduates, 10 of those men had a call to plant churches. So Brother Smith was able to work with 10 graduates and plant 10 churches in 1 year. It's a good method of missions, and looking forward to seeing a graduating class, Lord's willing, in Haiti one day, and looking for God to do a great thing. The way it works for the Haitian nationals, of course, they finish their degree for 4 years. We will help them start in a storefront. They've got to do the work. They've got to prove they can build a congregation. And we'll help pay for the place and support them according to their economy, which would be $200 a month. And if they're able to build a congregation, we'll go in and help them build a building and support them for 2 or 3 more years. Our desire is for the church and that congregation to pick up that salary and go on for the glory of God. We do not control them. We are looking for independent indigenous Baptist churches in the country of Haiti, and that is our goal. I went my first trips into Haiti working with Miss Connie Anderson. She is a widow missionary in the mountains above Petigwav. Her husband at that time had went home to be with the Lord 4 years earlier. She has stayed on top of a mountain in Petigwav, Haiti. She lives in the middle of 7 witch doctor families, her by herself with one helper. I heard her story, wanted to try to go in and be a help. They were living in a house the size of a double-wide trailer, and we was able to go in and help them get a new addition built. This is a vagabond. He promised he would not steal from us if we would work him. And these men will work for $6 a day. He turned out to be my trusted friend. And that's usually the way it works, isn't it? And saw primitive building, and that man would take this block machine, make 100 block a day on the ground with that one machine. It was pretty amazing. I've never seen that. Traveled across the country in those mountains. I would not doubt 20 to 30,000 people live in those mountains above Petigwav. As far as we know, there's no functioning independent Baptist churches in that area. Her husband moved up there but never got to build the church, and they are nestled in those mountains everywhere. This trip in, I hiked way back up into the mountains of Jokmel. It was a long trip, and went back up to a young church plant, preached there for a few days, had a couple of people saved, and enjoyed that trip way up in the mountains. They work hard, they live hard. You can see they have no shoes on. These ladies, this is at Miss Connie's mountain. They'll walk 8 miles up that mountain carrying these pails on their head. They are taking a break. They don't take them off their head because they're so heavy. It takes a couple of people sometimes to get them centered up there, and then they'll leave it there and to walk 8.5 miles. She lives, I think it's 2,800 or 3,000 feet in elevation, just 8.5 miles off the ocean. If that tells you how steep it is from sea level, she's nearly 3,000 feet up, and they'll walk that every day. And they are hardworking people. Everything you're looking at is farmed. They start at the top of the mountain with pickaxes and shovels, and you can see it's terraced all the way down. That is sown with corn, beans, whatever they can do to live. And you can see the houses nestled in everywhere. And I love it to go up and visit around some of those houses. And that year, 2011, cholera was terrible. Over 7,000 people died that year from the cholera. I believe they've got most of that under control now. But I took this picture. Me and my wife went in the first trip when we landed in Miami. Miss Connie had one helper at the time. We had shook hands with her and had stopped and talked to her for a while. When we landed in Miami, she was nearly dead of the cholera and was able to get a prayer chain going, and God pulled her out. She lived. And 44 people went out of that one village below Miss Connie with cholera in that year. The sickness is always an issue, and of course witchcraft, as I mentioned, in Haiti is always an issue. Miss Connie, I told you, lived in the middle of 7 witch doctor families. This is the chief witch doctor in the mountains above Pettigwaw with a New York hat on. Isn't that fitting? And he fussed at me a couple times. I wouldn't give him a ride. And he's serving his God. Let his God give him a ride. Amen. I was close enough on that mountain. It was his sons and his brothers that live around Miss Connie. She asked me one night, the smell was as strong as like a polecat, and Miss Connie asked me if I smelled that horrible smell, and of course I did, and they were casting spells on me next door, so I was close enough to smell the pot brewing, and that's all right as long as I'm not in a pot, amen. We was witnessing in those mountains above Jockmel, visiting houses, and talked to this lady, of course doing laundry in the yard, and this lady is a witch, and she had told the interpreter. Usually he lets me talk or interprets for me, but he kind of flew in on her, and he had told me later on that she was a witch and that she mentioned she was going to get saved, but she would have to go through some sort of voodoo ceremony and divorce her inner spirit. And of course, I'd have had something to say to that if I was interpreting, and he probably did, but all you need is Jesus. He'll take care of the rest of that, won't he? And nothing to see, 3 men on a motorcycle in Haiti. Gas is $5 a gallon, and that is just Haitian life. I have got my taste of that every trip in. I've got stuck on a motorcycle with 2 other Haitians. The first time that happened, I told my wife, she said, that is just plumb gross, Brad. But that is Haitian life. I get all the jokes there. It's, oh, Blanc, Blanc, which is white, and everybody's always cracking the jokes on me. I'm a red-headed white man in Haiti. I'm the minority of minorities. But I have to pick back every once in a while, and here I am, had a big Haitian driver, me in the middle, and a big guy on the back. I told him I felt like a double-stuffed Oreo cookie on that motorcycle with him. And that is it, right there. Creamy white middle, amen. This is a video kind of the streets in the city of Port-au-Prince. And to give you an idea of what they look like, and it is kind of dragging a little bit, but you can see some of the cities and the buildings. 350,000 people live in Port-au-Prince. I'm going to see if I can go to the next one, if it's any better. I didn't restart my computer, maybe the problem, but I'm standing now on the port about to sail over to Tortuga Island. They'll put you on these little boats. The little boats will carry you out to bigger boats. And as I said, all these are handmade. They make them right there. You see the skeleton? That's one under construction. So you're trusting your life to Haitian engineering when you get on one of those. And that is not the place I like to be. All right, here's the story. Here's a Haitian sailboat. My last trip in, this is Tortuga Island, had to carry all the materials over there. On that wooden sailboat, we had 60 2x6s, 16 foot long, and 20 2x10s, and they're true 2x10s, real heavy. And they load that sailboat down and then put 12 Haitians on there with us. You're in a 30-mile-an-hour crosswind across the island. The port side of that boat's cutting 1.5 feet underwater. 5-foot swells. I'm soaking wet the time I get there. I really thought it was going down. I'm serious. I was praying. And first time I ever did that, only scripture come to my heart when Paul said, I perceive this voyage is going to be with much damage and hurt. But thankfully, it was not the Lord. So we have always made it, but I have always been scared. Now, this is smooth seas. Now, you got to remember, this is Atlantic Ocean. You go to the north side of Haiti, if you're to go west from Tortuga Island, you don't hit land again until Africa. And about evening in the afternoon, that's all white capping, 5-6 foot swells, and it is a ride, to say the least. And they do it every day, but it is a little hairy. That's Octave Jerome. I mentioned the pastor I went over, and he is an amazing man. Middle of nowhere in Haiti, he started 5 churches, never has had any support. When he told me he had not eaten anything for 3 days but spaghetti noodles, plain spaghetti noodles for breakfast, his next statement was this. He said, I do not tempt God to murmur or complain. Boy, that'll convict your heart, will it not? He was telling me the story about trying to win the chief of police. And the chief of police had invited him in. He knocked on his gate. He told him to come in. As he was walking across his yard to his house, the chief of police had forgot his canine dog in the yard. The canine dog attacked the man of God. And Brother Octave was telling me when that dog leaped, it leaped straight for his throat. And as soon as his paws touched that man of God's chest, God killed that dog dead. And he said, I mean, it was from a dead run straight to his throat. Boom, it fell over dead. And he's looking at the chief of police. He said it scared him to death. The chief of police told him, said, don't worry about the dog. He made this statement. He said, we all know you're God's man and you don't touch God's Amen. Man. Chief of police got saved, still testifies at the church about God killing his prized dog in his yard. But that is God's man. I love him to death. And he has done a great work, and it is a blessing. This is his church. I told you about the roof. And when I went in, there's several other needs, and I'm just amazed that to see God. And you're on deputation for 2 years. You know, you kind of beat your head, and things are slow. And this year's just been a blessing to see things fall together. And we're going to try to build them some pews, some other things there. There's some other needs, and we're just praying the Lord to meet those needs. I preached this is the first time I ever went there. You can see there were a couple of holes in his roof then. But now it's the whole length of the building. It was horrible. That's the first time I ever preached there. I had one saved that morning, enjoyed him. And this is his house. I stay in this back room. You can see it's just concrete lattice. You fight with the mosquitoes and things like that. This trip in, I looked up, and there was a rat the size of my hand come across the top of the block and in my room. And I couldn't get him out. He crawled in a hole in the block, so I had to spend the night with the rat. But how you like those steps? I had all I could take of that, and I fixed that last trip in. Built the man some steps, and it is something else. So there's a picture of some of the holes in his roof. I was telling you about how rusted out it was, and what a blessing. I tell you, we're spoiled, are we not? Not only are we going to fix his roof, but we're going to do some more work. I've had a Bible college of all last week. I flew into Chicago. It was 84 degrees in Haiti. I flew into Chicago. It was 4 below. You're talking about some shock now. That was something else. But got to teaching to 100 students and was just telling about Octave and the work there. And one of the students came up that night and he said, if we wanted to do something to help, what could we do? And we talked around a little bit. And 100 Bible college students got together and raised over $1,000 to build that man some pews. And so, Lord's willing, next picture you see, the floors will be dry. There's going to be some pews in that church. And that is his two sons. That man of God has 5 sons. 4 of them preach, and the last one's a medical doctor in the Dominican Republic. So that's a blessing. Catch this. Nicknames. This is Dodo, and this is Kiki. True story. That's their name. They interpret for me. This is his son's church on top of Port-au-Pay. I went in to preach the revival there is how I met his dad. His dad's somewhere right over in here on top of the mountain there in Tortuga. But please pray for Haiti. I got 71 on there. We're nearly 75 now. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing and looking forward to the Lord doing great things in the country of Haiti. Now, working with nationals and the like, we are. My family will always live in the United States. We'll travel in and out of the country. And the plant churches in that life. A lot of cultures how many of you have heard of the term indigenous missions? And the key to indigenous mission is training Haitian men to reach Haitians. And the only step that IBOM takes different is we work from start in an indigenous manner, work with a national pastor, establish a college, build a fire and let it burn. And that's the way it's happened in other countries, and that's what we're looking at to do in the country of Haiti. Preacher, you have any questions for me? Or? Jesu Remeu, Jesus loves you. Now, Creole is a challenge for a redneck. Country boys do not use vowels. If I had to spell what I just said, it would be V-W-L-S. We leave the O and the E, we leave the vowels out. In Haiti, they stretch them. In French Creole, est-ce que vous parlez anglais? So it is completely different. It's funny to watch a Haitian try to get me to teach me a word because they're going, ooh, ooh, and I'm trying my best to stretch it, and they're giggling and laughing. But you do pray for us. I'm trying to learn and doing better, and to thank the Lord for his goodness and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. Question or two, and then I'll preach to you. Anybody got a question?